is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we got no man in the booth. I'm the man in the booth. That's what's going on here.
There's never been a man in the booth. That's the truth.
How dare you say that?
Get your conspiracy heads going. Booth man is everyone.
Oh, geez. No, Giancarlo is our booth man. And we should have him on one of these
Why don't we do that?
That's a great idea. We'll talk about that. We'll figure it out. We'll have him on. We'll come up with a
Because he's not real. You got to open your third eye. He's just in the figment of our magic. He's our Tyler Durden. Think about
it. Yes. Thank you, everybody, for listening to this podcast. Also, thank you, everybody, watching live on both Crowdcast and YouTube. You all are awesome. Now, as usual, if you've been watching this last couple of Live to the Internet shows, if you're on Crowdcast, please drop a question in Ask a Question. We will get to those later. If you're on YouTube, just drop them in the chat. I got one eye on that. We're monitoring what's going on there, and we are excited
to
chat with all of you, find out what's going on. Also, if you're on YouTube, why don't you hit that like button? Just, you know, give that a little smasharoo there. You know, leave a comment or something. Just have a good time. Do that.
It's
YouTube
so chill thing. To ask in such a chill way. It's very cool. Very
Whatever
cool.
Whatever you guys want, but do it.
Just invited Boothers onto the show next week.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for taking a break in the middle of our show.
It's happening so fast. Everything's happening.
I also want to mention before we get into the show this week, we do actually have a sponsor for the show. There's one of the frequent listeners of the show. His name is Jason Connolly. He was nice enough to sponsor this week's episode. And in particular, he doesn't have anything he wanted to plug on his end, but he did want us to give a shout out to his local comic book store that helped him keep him in comics and get his daughter into comics. It is Cape and Cal Comics in Oakland, California. And like pretty much every other store in the United States, in the entire world, they're having a lot of problems right now because new comics aren't coming out. People aren't allowed to go into the stores. So instead, go check them out online. Again, Cape and Cal Comics in Oakland, California. They got a couple of deals. I checked out their website. Right now, if you order over $50 with the code FREESHIP50, you get free shipping. I think you figured that out. And also they have gift certificates that you can buy and use, I believe, just in the store. So it's basically like making a down payment on the store. A lot of stores are doing that right now. So again, thank you, Jason, for sponsoring the episode. We really appreciate it. And go check out Cape and Cal Comics in Oakland. We appreciate you all as well. And how are you guys doing? Are you excited to chat about the old comic books today?
It's about, you know, I'm still catching up on comic books that I have been in my little pile by my bed. So I'm very close to finish. I've reached.
That doesn't sound like a little pile.
It's a big pile. I'll give you that. But I'm almost caught up with it. And it's going to be crazy to have read all of the comics.
Like it's finally, like reaching. You're finally done. You finished them.
It's scary.
I mean, it's kind of sad, but now you can catch up.
Yeah, this is great. You can move on to real adult stuff like taxes. Those are they got in general. I think that's good.
Our favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your tax prep. Here we go.
Taxes. Well, cool. We got a couple of things that are going on this show. As mentioned, again, we're going to get to the questions later. We're going to do some trivia later. We're going to do a lot of other awesome, awesome things. We also have a couple of guests on the show today. One of them. I'm going to give him a shout out because we're working with a new platform here and I don't quite see him showing up, but we do have a guy named Stony Williams. Stony, if you are here, open yourself to jump it into the chat and we will have you on. There you are. I can't seem to invite you to the chat. I don't know if you have a webcam or anything set up. Stony, I'm talking to you directly, one-on-one. You get set up there, and then I'll be able to invite you in. Right now, it's not giving me a prompt to do that. But we're going to move on to our next section and then come back to you and check in with you. And for that, we're going to invite one of our favorite guests on the show into the stream. That is slowly happening. This next section is called, hold on, I got it queued up here. I'm running tech. Alex, this is so
wait
smooth.
For it.
Here we go. Here's Legend Belgian for the stack.
Yeah, we're ready.
There it is.
Do it.
Oh, what's going on, my friend?
How are you? Wait, hold on. We'll do it for real. We'll do it right. There we go.
Ooh, turned on the Infinity Gauntlet.
There we go. A little nano gauntlet action for you.
Oh, nice.
I'm a real nerd, everyone.
Amazing.
Langston, how are you doing? Last time I saw you, it was in person, face-to-face, and we shook hands.
True.
I felt bad about it.
I'm good. I'm good hanging out in the Wakanda of New York, as I call it, the Bronx. So just hanging out. It's very nice. It's very, very nice.
Cool. You finally have time to put some posters on your wall.
I know, right? I used to have a poster of the Tuskegee Airmen, but I got to move it. I had to move it. It was massive.
Too big.
But very, very massive. I'm doing good.
So we invited you on. We've been doing this new thing with the stack where we have people talk about their favorite books, and I do want to get to that in a second. But you do host stuff for Marvel.com. Are you guys still doing that right now? Are you still doing new videos?
A video that I actually did right before all this happened. The Vision Family Tree is out on YouTube. Right before, I just recorded another voiceover. You don't know about a very beloved spider person in Spider-Verse. They don't want me to give it away. It's very interesting. They're like, don't give away the next video thing, because they kind of want it to be like in tying in with what's going on. There's a lot of equipment that was brought to my home by my boss to like do video stuff and VO stuff. There's equipment here that I've never touched, seen, and or used before. So it's been a very educational quarantine as well as a safe one. So yeah.
Oh, that's good. Cool. That's been one of my favorite things about like talk show stuff that's been going on during the quarantine, where it's clearly like, well, big truck drives up to Jimmy Kimmel's house, drops off thousands of dollars worth of equipment, and they're like, set it up. Good luck. Mm-hmm. Have a good time. Well, that's how
I put Alex, you mailed me these Christmas lights that I set up.
I did.
Look at how great it is.
And you live in a mansion, right? Like, I asked you to dress it up like a disgusting basement, but
I gotta keep it real. Don't want to look too glamorous.
I gotta imagine, yes.
Yeah. Also behind me is a costume where I played the chip in a credit card for a character show I did once. Walk through what's behind me.
Langston, we are having you on, as mentioned, for the stack, and we're going to talk about, I'm very excited to talk to you about this. I think you actually mentioned it the last time you were on the show, but we're going to be talking about Taskmaster, number 1 through 4 from 2010 by Fred Van Lente and art by Hefte Paulo.
Hefte
Paulo. This book is great, and it was so great reading it again. You want to talk a little bit about what you like about Taskmaster and what you liked about this book?
So for those
who don't know, story time.
Yes. So for those who don't know, Taskmaster, whose symbol I am currently adorned with on my chest, it's going to be a very famous symbol coming soon. I imagine it's going to be everywhere. It's my favorite Marvel. He's an assassin level Marvel villain. His unique ability is that he has photographic reflexes, so that anything that he sees, be it an Olympic level archer or a superhero archer or a pole vaulter or basketball player or typewriter, or as we see in this series, someone playing the guitar,
more like me drinking this beer.
Or you can learn how to drink beer very, very well.
That's amazing. Usually I've seen a couple of comics where Taskmaster is like that, but then he watched somebody.
But I love it because I love that power, and like the outfit is just super cool, the cape and the sword and the shield, like harkening back. He has the buccaneer boots, but this series I always likened it, and when I first read it, when reading again, it rings more true. It feels like a Joe Carnahan movie. It feels like a Smokin' Aces-esque, like there's comedy, there's a little bit of madcapness with all the different gangs that are after, which is a great intro in the beginning of all these crazy gangs that are after Taskmaster, which you can imagine in a Joe Carnahan way, like each one getting their own little profiles, these outrageous little pocket people of the Marvel Universe. But it's just such a fun series and a cool series. And I think I forgot all the things that were revealed in this series, and I'm like, oh my goodness, that's right. Yeah. And then, it also takes place during a really cool period, in my opinion, in the Marvel Universe after the siege of Asgard, the attempted siege of Asgard. And this is Taskmaster post joining the bombardment to defeat Thor, because he thought it would be really good for his reputation if he was seen being part of the group that defeated Thor. And so he like jumps in with his guns doing absolutely nothing, but they finally beat him and he's like there, and on the news you see him there. So now it's really cool. But the series actually humanizes the character in a great way. And also it's like very, very sympathetic to like this character's plight, and, but also really, really points out his like position and role in the greater Marvel universe.
So now, I have a question for you.
Oh, go ahead, Pete. I also have a question because, like, this is a lighter Taskmaster because most of the time he's kind of a villain, and here he's kind of Spider-Man quippy, you know, kind of Deadpool style a little bit. Now, how do you prefer your Taskmaster?
Because the interesting thing is, I feel like he's not always seen as quippy because of the skull face and just his general look.
Yeah,
but the way he's usually written, tough quip
vibe.
Yeah, he usually is written, which is fun. Like, there's a lot of yas, like YAs, a lot of ya, and there's a lot of, like, if you play the game Ultimate vs. Capcom 3, he's very, like, you know, I'll show you how to use that. Like, he is, like, supposed to be, like, a thug type guy who's kind of like, yeah, all right, I'll fight this person. And that was kind of cool because you kind of get that when he's interacting with other villains, not so much heroes. Maybe, like, with Ant-Man, when the book is written to be more kind of like they volley back and forth. Like, he tells Ant-Man that don't tell anyone that he's his arch nemesis because he has a reputation to keep, which is my favorite things ever. But yeah, I like Taskmaster when I like the sympathetic side, but I also like this full supervillain, like, shows up and someone's like, oh no, it's Taskmaster. And he's like, I love when he's just dropped into a story and you see that he can fight anyone, like, you know, pretty effectively, which is pretty, pretty cool. And also how other characters see him.
So I had another, my question was also a challenge for you, Langston, because the last time that we talked about Taskmaster or the Black Widow trailer, you didn't go harsh, but you certainly weren't, you were interested in the take where it wasn't like a big actual skull, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't have a skull face.
Right.
And here, the way the Taskmaster is introduced here, he's a dude out of costume the first time we see him, and then he puts on the skull mask to the point, which I think very cleverly, they make it a plot point why he has this skull mask in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah.
So given that that contradicts with kind of what you were saying the last show, how do you feel about that? Do you think it works because it works in the story?
Yeah. I feel like it works because anytime I love when any small detail about a character is justified or expanded upon, or it's like, oh, this actually does have a meaning. And the meaning in this story, the reason why Taskmaster does wear this, that skull face is so cool and so like poignant and very like a really cool character moment in his backstory while he's dealing with fighting Cyber Ninjas and all this other crazy stuff. The Inquisition. No one expects the Inquisition. That joke in there makes me. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's so many like weird, dumb jokes. You're like,
yes,
why is this in this book, but it does add to the levity of like, that's right. And the cool thing is, technically, you're seeing this from a villain's point of view. You know, as the story goes on, you know, things get into the gray area, but you really are technically seeing this from the villain's point of view. The intro introduces like all these AIM guys, and like there's a suicide ray. I think there's someone mentions like, you want me to assemble suicide ray you can use on yourself? But it's like all these henchmen and stuff like that. So you're kind of getting like the dark, gritty, blue collary aspect of the Marvel universe of like being a henchman. Supervillains are not there. They just sent their henchmen to go kill Taskmaster and hope that it gets done. And these guys are having these cool conversations. But I really like that they did that with the mask, especially because in the comics, sometimes it's like hardcore skull. And this one, it's much more of like a face mask that can emote a little bit more and like has, it's more fabric-y and whatnot, which is cool. And the art, of course, is awesome, which really lends to like the way they express that character is really, really cool.
Whenever I think of Taskmaster, I always think of the dude in the movie Willow, who's like sort of the good guy, bad guy, Eric. Like, that's how I imagine Taskmaster all the time. I feel like that matches with this book. And it's actually this series. I really like this series. It's funny, but also really sad when it comes down to it.
Yeah.
And I feel like the fact that Taskmaster is one of those characters that is like, people like just mess him up a lot. Like, oh, he's a hero now. And it's like, now he's just a villain. And no one ever explains why he changes. Mm-hmm. And I think Fred Van Lente did a great job of taking that sort of, those mismatched ideas and making them all make sense and sort of thread them together in a way that is really poignant and sad at the end. Like by the end of this book, he's got his wife who he doesn't know her. He's still sending him out on these missions where he might die, but she's like protecting him at the same time that she's like missing him. Like, it's this great engine for him.
It's happened more than once. It's not the first time.
Fred Van Lente is killing this book. I mean, he really put an amazing stamp on this character, and I think it really holds up. I mean, you've got really powerful writing, really funny writing, an amazing story, and then the art is over the top. I mean, this is a hell of a package. This is a really great book. I mean,
the task was mastered.
I still think the coolest thing is you're like, how do you show somebody using somebody else's fighting skill, like in panel form? And the way they do it, like, they do this thing of showing Taskmaster, if you haven't read the book, and they will show a box over him superimposed over the showing the character who he's using, and the way they explain how he has pneumatic devices to access certain things, like his parents' living room in the Bronx is how he thinks, how he accesses Spider-Man skill. And I think there's a place in China that he accesses like Iron Fist. Shang-Chi, I'm sorry. And that's a really cool thing to show how different things come in. And also they do like some deep cuts with like he talks about like he looked some old newsreels and he uses like the right hook of like Blazing Skull, like an old World War II, which is really cool. Yeah. Like I like the idea that in his off time he was just watching all of these old things to fight heroes that he may have to use the right hook of Blazing Skull.
Now, as a fan, how often do we see him use the fighting style of Red Shirt from the organization Mirror? Who is the villain? The villain of this four-issue series is a character named Red Shirt, the ultimate henchman, whose organization is MILF. And they still tell a poignant story, despite the fact that that is the big bad. We're scared.
Yeah. It's one of the best Commander moments of like the guy pointing it out. And then he like is a whole like large page, this guy being like, yo, this is dumb. And then he just like, you're gonna kill me, aren't you?
You're gonna kill me, aren't you? Yeah.
But then like there's a great moment where he goes, they'll fall the hands of MILF, and there's one dude in the back going, oh my god. Like I love the hinge aspect of like, these are all idiots and they're all going to lose, but it is cool. Like the Shi'ar are dropped in this book.
The only fighting style he hasn't encountered is here.
I mean, you can kind of see it's sad. I understand why this book was only four issues. I understand why it was a limited series. And I understand why people haven't necessarily followed up on this, because it does open up the character, but it's the sort of thing that if you keep hitting that same note with Taskmaster, it could potentially become repetitive. But I do think if you do read this and you do like this, I highly recommend checking out Fred's work on Archer and Armstrong, which had very different story, but it hits some of the same notes in terms of ridiculous villain organizations mixing together the comedy, but the serious drama and the emotion at the same time. And it's really fun. It's not the same concept by any means. Although I guess Archer does have like some memory issues as well. So regardless, if you read this, if you check out the four issues and you like it, that's a good follow-up, I think.
The funny part to me was on one of the covers, it said 2 of 5, and then the next issue went back down to 4. It was kind of like a weird mess up on the cover that I was like, oh, wait, it's 5 issues, but no.
Is there a secret issue?
It could have been meant to be 5 issues, and then they downsized it to 4, and that's possible too.
Or maybe they have a bad memory, just like Taskmaster. Oh, man. Remember, you got to think. Conspiracy.
Shit.
You got to think.
It's all connected.
And that's on Marvel Unlimited now, right?
Sure is. Yeah, all four issues are on Marvel Unlimited. You could read it. You could check it out right now. It's really, really good.
Before we let you go, Langston, what else are you reading right now? Is there anything else you're checking out during your quarantine time that you might recommend to folks?
So I went back and I read some sagas. I started going back and reading sagas. We kind of talked about this, that everyone remembers big moments from, but doesn't remember the rest of them, like the Infinity Gauntlet. Sorry, like everyone remembers like the snap, but everyone forgets about, you know, Thanos leaving his body and then like Nebula like taking the gauntlet off of his like body after he's taking the mission. Like it gets weird. He fights all the tenets of reality by the end of it. I'm like, I'm very glad
so good.
The movie. But it's amazing. So I'm rereading that. Stuff like Taskmaster, a lot of smaller books. Rereading my favorite books, Dark Avengers. I really, really loved that book. I thought that was a really cool. That was like one of my favorite status quo changes of watching all these villains who actually have real psychoses and acknowledge like, yo, we're all messed up, screwed up people trying to be the, like watching Bullseye trying to be like Bullseye and Norman Osborn actually trying to be like, no, we should be trying to save people. It's like, no, I'm a murderer. It's fine. So, yeah, I've been going back and looking, using Marvel Unlimited to read some old comics, and I've been rewatching. I've been rewatching the Spawn animated series on HBO Now.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. I never finished. I only got to season two.
I think that's at the very bottom of HBO Go. That's like right down, literally.
Yeah, how dare you?
Scrape in the barrel.
The animated series is unbelievable.
It's right before Taxi Cab Confessions.
Yeah, exactly.
It is alphabetically, I believe. Yeah.
Real Sex 36 on the animated series. Taxi Cab Confessions.
True. That Dream On, confusingly, is also.
There we go. Yeah, I was going to say, is nobody going to mention Dream On? All right.
That's my go-to, Pete.
Yep.
Langston, thank you so much for coming on. You're awesome. We'll definitely have you back. Stay safe out there.
You as well.
Stay on task. See you later.
Great job. Yeah. Mastered that outro, Alex.
Thank you very much. So a couple of people pointed this out in the chat. Like we said, you could definitely check that out on Marvel Unlimited. They also have it on Comixology, of course. So those are two places that you can definitely check it out. And the book is great. Once again, Taskmaster 1 through 4, 2010 by Fred Van Lente, art by Hefte Paulo. And it's awesome. Definitely check it out. Next up, we are going to try to invite our next guest to the stream. Here he is. It worked out. Hello, this is Stoney Williams.
Hey, can you guys hear me all right?
Yeah, we can hear you great. Yeah. Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Welcome.
It's all working. Technology is amazing. Nice Harley Quinn poster in the background.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Oh, nice.
Stoney, thanks so much for coming on. We've been doing this. We did this last week, and we have this week as well. Obviously, the comic book industry is pretty much shut down at the current time, but people still have stuff coming out. They're still pushing stuff. They're still creating stuff. You are one of those people. You have stuff coming out through Ashcan Press that's available through their Patreon account. Is that right?
That's right, yeah. And you can get all that information on ashcancomicspub.com.
Yeah. So tell us about your book. I meant to write it down and I completely blanked on the name, and I'm really sorry about that, but it's a very cool warrior fighting style book.
It is. Yeah, it's nice. Called Vala the Beast.
Vala, there we go.
Yeah.
It's by Nate Lidley. Follows kind of a Viking-esque female warrior as she goes to this fantasy world, and we're really excited about it. The book itself, the first chapter was only about a dozen pages, written prose, and then with Nate Lindley's artwork.
Oh, wow. Oh,
cool.
We just to take a big step back, where are you located, Stoney? Where are you calling in from?
Oklahoma, Bonita.
Ah, nice. How are things out there? Are you doing all right?
Boring.
Oh, okay.
That's sort of cool. Keep now. Boring is cool.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I'd love to be bored. That sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
So, where'd the idea for the book come from initially? Where did you and how did you hook it up with Ashcan Press?
Jay Sandlin, another writer, we actually met through Matthew Studios, another comic book company. We both won their talent hunt. And Jay found it first. I don't know where he got it from, but he said, hey, I found this really cool little indie place, and would you like me to get you in? I was like, yeah, if you had a good word for me, that'd be awesome. And it's been a lot of fun. It's mostly been prose, which at the time I wasn't really thinking about. I was very much in comic book mode and doing scripts and stuff. But I was like, you know what? It'll help with the whole, you know, building your writing and getting your name out there and practicing the craft, all that good stuff. And so I tried it and I absolutely fell in love with it. The whole process and the community that Ashcan has built, and a really good time. So I've kept with it a little over 6 months, I think, about at least one book every month.
Cool. You awesome. Mentioned the community. Wow. I was looking a little bit at the Patreon, and there's a bunch of awesome, awesome looking books on there. Is it like you all talking about the books, or there's summits, or is it just everybody being supportive of each other? What level of community are we talking here?
A little bit of everything. When I mentioned the community before, but mostly talking about the writers and artists. We've got a Discord going. We've got a Twitter group. We all very supportive of each other, and it's kind of like a comic book coalition, really. We're switching things up now, but in the last few months, it was they would have set themes, and then they would pair us writer and artist, and we'd do 3 pages of prose to 8 pages of artwork. And seeing what everybody came up with within those themes and the different stories we all came up with and the different takes we had, it was a lot of fun. And so, yeah.
That's cool. So you guys are like sort of challenging each other and pushing each other's creativity in different directions. Like, that's so great. Like, that's really what I feel like everybody, that's kind of thing like anyone in any discipline is like, oh, I love a group of people where I can just bounce stuff around, especially now when that's sort of all we can do anyway.
Do you feel like you're chatting more now over the past couple of weeks, or is it kind of the same level of stuff?
No, I think there's a lot more with all of us kind of sitting around twiddling our thumbs, especially those of us that are, I've got current projects going, are almost constant communication.
Wow. So you're close on your draft of King Lear 2 is what you're saying. Like, you've all
right.
Okay, good.
Going for the sequel there. That's crazy.
He's like, you know what? I think I'm going to use an umbrella in the rain this time.
Yeah, they sort of tied up King Lear pretty tight. I don't know.
He has 6 daughters.
Cool. Yeah, oh, you just add more daughters. Smart.
I mean, that's how you wrap up the stakes. You honestly get it. That's basic drama. You should know that, Justin.
Oh, my God.
True.
Stody, where, once again, plug your stuff. Where should people check it out? What's the web address so they can head on over there and go support some good indie publishing?
AshcanComicsClub.com. From that, you can go find our Patreon, the Twitter and Instagram, and buy these cool shirts. And all of it's there on the website.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Stody. Yeah. Good luck out there. Thanks for coming on. Very excited to check out all your stuff. It looks awesome. Please take a look, everybody.
Thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Thanks, Tony. See ya.
Yeah. All right. There we go. Definitely check out all that stuff. And now, folks, it is time for my favorite section, because you all make it up. It is your boy. Audience questions.
Yeah.
And for the audience questions, here's all you have to do. If you're over on Crowdcast, most of you have already figured this out. Just drop it in the Ask a Question. If you're over on YouTube, just drop it in the comments there. I see people chatting and having a good time, and that's pretty awesome. But we'll start going through it. I actually want to start with a letter that we got over email.
Email. Very.
Wait, how does that work?
You downloaded
how
paper?
Does that work?
That's cool. Yeah.
Was
man.
It a PDF of a letter?
Somebody mailed me a letter. I let it sit for 3 days because I don't want to touch that shit. And then I scanned it into my computer, and then I emailed it to myself. And he sent me an email. I don't know what I'm talking about. I feel a little bit like Casey Kasem here, though. We got a letter from Jonathan Martins.
Okay. Longtime listener, first time caller. Time to go to the mailbag.
So this is from Jonathan Marks. He says, hey guys, happy Easter, happy Passover, happy quarantine. Just wanted to reach out quickly and say hi. I do have a question for the live show, but I also really just wanted to thank you for continuing to do the show at all. I'm happily still working home studio anyway, and listening to you on Wednesdays just like I did before these crazy days has really been a source of comfort. It's no surprise how certain routines add to a feeling of normalcy, and I know I'm not alone in saying that something as simple as a new podcast every week has really gone a long way in helping me maintain not only my work but also my sanity. So thank you. Okay, don't want to gush too much. Thank you.
Oh gosh, it's so sweet. And before you even ask the next question, it is very, I mean, this is very meaningful for me anyway. We would get to get together and do this. And I just thought of this today. This is the longest we've gone not seeing each other in person in like almost 15 years.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. But yes, thank you to all of you as well. And we really do sincerely mean that. Loved doing these shows online. I know we say that at the end of every episode, but I think it stands repeating here that this is a fun thing that I've really been looking forward to every single week. So thank you. On to Jonathan's question. My question for you guys is, as we're all quarantined and going back through our long boxes and rereading old issues, I'm sure we've all had a few, whoa, I completely forgot that I had that comic moments. Do you three have any comics, though, that are the opposite of that? Issues that, for whatever reason, you remember exactly where, when you were, when you got it. Thanks again. Looking forward to the next Comic Book Club Live and Stack, and coming to see you all live again after the end of the world. Best, Jonathan. Jonathan, thank you again so much. What do you think about that? Has there been anything as you've been going through that you're like, I can't believe I picked that up. That's crazy.
I mean, I was looking through one of the many boxes that I have, and I found some very old Archie comics. I don't even know where I got them from. I feel like someone must have just left them for me. They're like from the 60s. They're full-size pamphlet comics, like Jughead issues, where like the old super old newsprint. So I was very surprised to find those. But the question was, do you remember where you were when you got certain comics as well?
Oh, right. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah, I definitely do. I mean, certain comics, I remember when I got them, how I got them, for sure. For me, kind of like High Fidelity, comics are kind of like a timeline of my life.
Okay.
Certain things mark kind of big things. And what sucked was when we first started doing the show, I was mailing my comics back to my father, who had my comic book collection, in sequence. And then my dad, unbeknownst to me, was organizing them alphabetically. So I thought I was preserving this, like, here's the stack, here's my picks, here's Justin's picks, here's Alvin's picks, like preserved timeline of our show. Wow. And it turns out
that's
my dad
so
was,
cool.
You know,
that's I love awesome. That you were like the archivist of Comic Book Club, or just supposed
I but did. More of a librarian. Somebody made a suggestion, and I apologize. I'm completely blanking on who it was, but somebody said we should go back to, for the stack, go back to our first show and repeat that. So I did look back. I could only find records. I think I started using Gmail in like 2006 or something. I probably had the stuff on my Pitt email. But so I don't even know what we did on our first show, because we didn't start recording it until like 5 or 6 years in.
Yeah, that was just for the people in the room.
Yeah, I look back at my trivia, and I used to hand write them on cards.
Yes.
And wow. I didn't start using
my phone. And now you
hand
write it on your phone. You scratch it with a knife.
Yeah.
Go through a lot of screens.
A couple quick stories about comics I remember getting. When I grew up in the country, so we had our comics mailed to us for a long time, especially when Image started. And we had this, I didn't know how it worked. I thought you just sent the order in and then they came like, then like they just had him in a box. Wrong. It was like 6 months. And so every day I would go to the mailbox, and every day they weren't there. I would just for so long. And then it finally, finally came. And then there was a gas station like 3 miles away that had a spinner rack. So I would walk that back. That's, I remember buying the Vibranium Vendetta. That's why I talk about it so much. That annual series from Marvel, with like Black Panther, Iron Man, and Spider-Man, maybe. I remember buying that annual there and reading and walking down a dusty country road, walking home.
Wow. It really has, I mean, beyond the fact that, like, I feel like I probably have more sense memory for buying my comics than almost anything else, my daughter, because we've been home so much, is desperately looking for new things to read. So I've been going through the comics that are, like, right behind me, if you're watching on the video chat, and being like, what do you think about this one? What do you think about this one? And almost every one, I remember where I got it from, when I got it. She started reading, I don't know why this is the one that she wanted to read, but Ironwalk Jan, which is this insane cooking manga
yeah.
That she has become. She read the first one. She's like, I don't know about this one, but then is completely into it. And now I'm feeling bad because I gave up after 9 volumes, but she desperately wants to read it. And I'm sure there's
more. Wait, I have a follow-up question for Pete real quick. What other phases of being a comic fan did you go through? You started in like romance comics and slowly got to the Punisher? I'm very curious what a pre our show Pete comic fan was.
Yeah, if you love love, you're going to love this guy who loves guns.
My spinner rack days were Spider-Man. And then there was a comic book shop that was kind of in the dirt mall by me. And it was in between a Tops and a Radio Shack.
That was heyday of Radio Shack.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And the guy was arranging the comics or rearranging or something. He was organizing them, and he just happened to have a couple of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle comics out. And I spotted them, and I was like, what is this? And then that kind of just blew me away, and I kept going back there every week with my what was it called? The money I used to get from all the chores I would do around the house.
Allowance?
Allowance, yeah. I would take my allowance there every week.
Salary?
Yeah, my pension? Salary, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, my 401k.
Oh, right.
And I would get cash it in. And
401 pre-K.
The 401 day pre-K, they call 401 it. Pre-K. That's
Let me good. Get my joke in, Alex. Jeez. I'm not going to say it again.
401 pre-K. Huh?
Oh, man. Yeah.
I do want to get to some other comics here because things are whipping by over on YouTube. A couple of quick ones here first from CT Kook. Is it me or does Justin look like a young Tom Selleck?
Justin, okay.
Oh, okay.
No. I'll take it.
That ego, please.
That's
stop.
Not inflating. That's not inflating. I had a mustache an hour and a half ago. I shaved.
You, there's no way you can grow a Tom Selleck worthy mustache
in you are 1 week. A Hawaiian shirt, right?
Exactly, and I just solved a fucked up crime on this island of Long Island. Next week, I will come with a mustache, and we can prove and see if this is true.
Oh my god, great. I would love to see you grow a thick stash.
We should start calling you Magnum JT. How about that?
Ooh, I like that. We should start that.
Another quick one, and then we'll jump over to Crowdcast for a second for questions. Bandito740, what are your feelings on Kevin Smith in the comic industry, and how many free cheesesteaks has Pete eaten since last Tuesday? This is a great question. If you great didn't question. Tune in last week, Pete got an offer for free cheesesteaks. I'm curious to you, Pete, what happened?
What happened? Well, unfortunately, I looked it up, and it's a hour and 45 minute walk from where I am, so I don't have a car. So,
you went there twice a day. That's a great time burner, dude.
Yeah, unfortunately, I still have a job, so I don't have that kind of free time. But
gotcha.
Yeah.
What about Kevin Smith in the comic book industry? Thoughts about that?
Like, what do we think is going to happen with him? I saw something.
You're great.
I saw something right before we started the show that he's writing Mallrats 2, I think, and he's going to incorporate coronavirus to it. I was like, come on, man.
Yeah.
You know how time works.
It's fine. What does it take him, like 3 days to film a movie? So he'll have it done soon. He's probably doing it on Zoom right now.
I like the reboot that he just did that went up on Amazon Prime. I watched that. It was pretty good.
Jay and Silent Bob reboot?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. I liked some of his comics back in the day. I thought the Cacophony stuff was real good.
Yeah, Green Arrow is great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'd like to see him do more than that. I feel like he does so well at this, and this is going to sound like a slam, and it's not. But like, he's so good at being a hype man and just coming out and doing his podcast and chatting constantly. He's excellent at that. But I would love to see him like drill down and do something very specific and creative, like those older comic books or some of his earlier movies. I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, what did he do a Batman run too? I want to say.
I think so. Yeah,
yeah, maybe.
He did Green Arrow, Daredevil,
he
right?
Did Batman.
Yeah,
The Widening Gyre. Joe Crack says.
Yeah,
follow up. It's terrible. I think that was not so great, but he did some good stuff. So we'll see. All credit to my favorite creator, Kevin Smith. All right, here we go. Some questions over a Crowdcast. This one's from Jay Sinison. We've gotten Cowboy on a Last Ride stories with Batman, Wolverine, Captain Picard, and The Undertaker. What other characters would you like to see get an old man story?
Ooh,
I like that
good question. Yes.
Who'd you want to see?
Who are we going to age up?
Yeah, my first thought to make fun of you, Pete, was Old Man Punisher, but we actually got that.
Yeah, we did. It was great.
Punisher Max, and it was amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's pretty old now. Like what's a couple? Throw some gray
he's
up
like
there.
Like a septuagenarian.
Cyclops
I think.
Is old too. Why don't they do a Cyclops one? I'm sure Cyclops. Is
old man Cyclops.
Yeah.
It's like now I got no eyes.
Yeah, I bet nobody. That's why they didn't do it because nobody would read it.
But old what man would you
the,
want to see?
Old man the Watcher.
Mm.
Gritty, eyesight going.
I'd love to see Old Man Power Pack. That would be fun.
That's good. Old man.
Did you pitch that or something? Is that why?
No, I didn't pitch that.
Wow. Got him. The first one that came to my head was stupid old man Speedball. When I was young, Speedball was my favorite character before he became Penance. So down for that. Bouncing around the room as an old guy.
I think an old Jubilee would be fun.
Old man Jubilee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still got those fireworks.
But I'm trying to think of like, what's a character that this would really sort of work for? One that comes to mind sort of in this Nightcrawler. I feel like Nightcrawler is one of those characters that he feels like he's actually young, but his demeanor is very old. And I'd like to see like what is his old journey, like finding he's always been into religion. Like, what does faith mean to him? And what is his like maybe swashbuckling side? How does that factor into an old man run?
Yeah, that would be cool. Also, good mention here in the comics, Crone, which is a title that we've reviewed on the stack a bunch of times. It's not specifically an old woman Red Sonja, but it kind of basically is anyway.
And it's
that's
great.
Very good. Yeah, that's currently coming out, I think, from Dark Horse. So that's very good. Great question there. Next one.
In the comments, old man Muppet babies. That would be great.
Yes, that is a funny one. This one, we got a twist here. We got a little bit of a twist going on. The way I just want to mention to establish this, the way that the comments are sorted in Crowdcast is people upvote them after they put in the questions. So I'm reading them down for the most voted questions because those are the ones that people are interested in. So this one popped to the top, and this one is pretty interesting. It's from Joe Crack. And it says, since the star's my destination, why do you think so many comic book companies parody the Justice League in ways to make them sometimes deplorable versions, i.e. Squadron Supreme? The Boys also has been the same been done for Avengers in Marvel's rival companies. Now, we'll get to that question in a moment.
I can't believe Kevin just got snubbed. This is fucked
Kevin
up.
Got sniped. Kevin got sniped. Now, if you haven't been paying attention, we have a secret Starman quiz going on. Joe Crack did the catchphrase. Joe Crack, we have invited you into the stream if you would like to come in to take the Starman quiz.
I love a rivalry. Let's get crazy.
And this doesn't mean that Kevin can't do it as well. It just means that Joe Crack needs to try to get through all 10 questions. Hey!
Yeah.
Hello.
We're actually off to the right way somehow.
We're over here with this
Look
thing.
To your right. Look to your right.
There you go.
This is my monitor.
We got it. Hilarious. It's good. This is a side view, a side profile.
Yeah, so you unlock the catchphrase for the Starman quiz. Justin's going to take it from here and ask you a couple of questions about Starman. Let's see what hoppies.
So the rules of the Star. Thank you for participating in this, Joe Crack.
Planning to snipe for a while.
Yes, good. The best snipes are pre-planned. Of course, you get a second guess or a clue by slagging off the Punisher or Cypher to Pete. Now, that's when you got to look hard down the barrel and really give it to Pete and or Alex. So question number one, Jack Knight Starman debuted during this DC event.
0 hour.
That is correct. Question number two, where would you find the gateway to heaven in Starman?
It's a Hawaiian shirt.
Excellent. That is correct. Question number three. There's a hard-punching, Frank Sinatra-loving bank robber turned hero who helps Jack Knight save Opal City. What is his name?
Bobo Benetti.
That is correct. Question number four. Kevin's stumbling blocks week. At the end of the initial Starman series, how many tattoos does Jack have?
One.
That is correct. Excellent.
Oh, it is a trick
well
question.
Well done. That's a hard one. That was hard to find that. It's just in one little dialogue box, I believe. Question number five. What is the name of the family that has sworn to kill Shade? Throughout the Starman series and again later in the Shade standalone series.
It's not who I think it is, probably. So, Pete, I'm sorry.
You can guess before you shit on Pete. I just want to say.
I can get the.
You can, because that's it. Yeah, you get a second swing at it. That is incorrect, but that's it's a good, as a strong guess.
Yeah.
Now's your chance.
The Punisher is Marvel's greatest supervillain because he's the worst hero.
Yes.
Not true.
That's not slacking off if it's true, right, Justin?
No, that counts as, it's just more, it's even more,
just if it hurts, if it just hurts.
It's more devastating if it's true. Right. It's more devastating if it's true. So your, clue here is the name of the family is there's a street in New York City two blocks over from where we used to do our show on Fontana's. This is, you're not in New York based, so this is much harder. My clue is designed for Kevin. The ultimate snipe returns on that. Two blocks over from that is where this the name of the family. I'm trying to think of another clue that is different. No,
that's
that.
That's the clue. That's the clue. I think. Any thoughts?
Go at Zalbin. Go at Zalbin.
Oh right.
Now my character's untouchable.
Of all the code names, why Cypher? Like, is it because he doesn't even decipher anything? So he just listens and speaks. That's come on, Douglas.
Yeah, take that, Zalbin. Yeah.
Again, that doesn't, it's accurate. That's an accurate description of his powers. So,
oh wow. Wow, you're fighting back?
No, it's fine. You could give him another clue.
Like Nat is trying to tell me to cheat, basically.
Nat,
look at Google Maps. I could just Google it.
No.
Okay. It is. This is sort of giving it away. It's not. It's not Lud High.
It's not.
Oh. Oh my God!
Could you repeat that?
It's not Lud High.
Down low.
Very close.
So close. South Street.
So close. I'll tell you what. We'll see what happens. We'll see if anybody else jumps in. This was a valiant try at an amazing snipe. Thank you so much for coming on.
Keep
the show.
It coming.
Keep it coming. This keep is the great. Snipe I love coming. This. Bye.
Bye, Joe Crack.
Oh my gosh. All right. Yeah, that was great. Let's answer the question Lud though. What do you think so many comic book companies parody the Justice League in ways to make them sometimes deplorable versions? Ice Squadron Supreme, The Boys, also has the same done for Avengers in Marvel's rival companies. Yeah, absolutely. They've done like bad Avengers in other books, I think,
I like this question a lot because it is there's something about the Justice League that makes them more everyone has a take on them, and I think it's because they are sort of god level when the Avengers are more sort of people, and it's more varied who you're going to sort of be like, oh, those are my Avengers. The Justice League, it's like, oh, my take on them is that they are self-obsessed, or they're this thing, they're that thing, whatever you think.
Yeah. Also, sorry, just quick little sidebar here, because there's a question from Chaos in Comics over on YouTube, says no idea what the fuck is going on. Just a quick explanation. We have a bunch of secret quizzes going on in the show. We had a secret Punisher quiz. Then we had a secret Cypher quiz. Now we have the secret Starman quiz that is unlocked by a secret key phrase, which Joe Crack did on this very show. And we'll see if anybody else gets it as well. But if they get 10 answers correct, there's a prize, right, Justin?
That is correct. There's a great prize.
All right.
Great prize. Ooh. It better not involve me or Zalbin.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, I'll rethink the prize.
Great.
Yeah, okay, good.
All right, here we go. This is from First Hand Up Border Collie over on here on Crowdcast. Been playing a lot more video games lately for some reason. No idea why.
Yeah.
What comic would you like to see turned into a video game, and what video game would you like to see turned into a comic?
Ooh, good. Two-parter.
Interesting question. For video game turned into comic, love to see Boy and His Blob. More Jelly Bean based action going on. I think that would be a lot of fun.
I just finished playing through Blaster Master Zero Number 2 on a retro game on Switch. That'd be a great comic. Really fun game about a guy, his cool car with a cannon, the robot sidekick that he has, and their frog that tells him what to do.
Oh, nice. I'm pretty sure there's a Metroid comic. I mean, it's such a fun story. I would feel like, why wouldn't that be?
I think there's a manga. I don't know if there's a comic, but
it feels that way. Yes.
Also, Castlevania is an amazing show on Netflix. I don't know if that's a comic. Yeah. That'd be awesome too.
Oh yeah, that's a good idea. That would be fun. If only they could get some sort of comic book writer to work on it. Like maybe they could get Warren Ellis or something, but I don't know.
That'd
if
be
he's
crazy.
Available.
Yeah. Alex, you just like Boys is Blob because you like jelly beans and snacks.
I love jelly beans. I told you guys this. Before yesterday, I hadn't been outside in like 5 days, like literally hadn't been outside in 5 days, managed to stay inside. And then yesterday was the day after Easter, which is half price candy day. And I was like, you know, I've got to go to the Rite Aid.
Interesting that it's known as half past candy day. Where in your household?
That's no, they do that. All the candy that's left after Easter or Valentine's Day or wherever, it's a half price.
It's in the dumpster out back. And you just leave a little bit of money in the, you give them cash to the raccoon.
I leave them a little bit under the garbage bags and they slip me some old rotten jelly beans.
Just exposing himself to the elements for a little ancient peep.
All right, this is from Omnia Soul. Are any of you playing the new Animal Crossing, or are there other video games that are helping you cope with quarantine? We can sort of address that a little bit, but Animal Crossing is definitely one of those things. Like, I've tried the mobile app and I was like, oh, there's a lot of fishing going on here.
Yeah.
Wasn't quite,
I feel like all of the parenting I'm doing is my version of that game. Mm-hmm. And it's not nearly as placid as everybody fucking thinks it is. but the game I just started after I finished Blaster Master 02 was Hollow Knight, also for Switch. Mm-hmm. Very into that. I've also been playing Cuphead. Cuphead in between.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Love Cuphead.
That's a beautiful game.
Beautiful game.
All right, there we go. Anybody, if anybody out there is playing Animal Crossing, hey, good luck to you. I hope you get those bells. All right, here we go. This is from Kevin. Stars My Destination, which comic book home HQ lair would you most like to spend this time in? All right, yeah, there we go. We'll get to that question in a moment. Again, here we go. This is a lot on you, Justin.
Kevin, coming in hot. Coming in, full of rage, perhaps. Let's see.
Just while we're waiting for Kevin to come in, Joe Crack, yes, we did answer your question afterwards. I think we answered the question.
Yes, we did.
Yeah,
we did. All right, there's Kevin.
Coming in.
Rocking a cape?
No tie.
What are you, Dracula?
No. I guess I'm Lando's cousin, Blando Calrissian.
Blando. Here we go. Kevin, coming in. He takes the snipe and brings a character. I
love it. Blando.
So let's get into it. We're going to pick back up where we left off with Joe Crack, because why repeat all that stuff? What is the name of the question number five? What is the name of the family who was sworn to kill Shade?
Ludlow.
The Ludlow family. That is correct. Question number six. What is the one mistake that exposed Culp having replaced Shade in the final story arc of the Grand Guignol of Starman?
The one mistake. Okay. So I'm going to take my guess, get it wrong, and then do the dig, right?
Do whatever you want. You don't have to get it wrong on the first try, but I do love a real dig.
Okay. So I'm going to guess that he didn't recognize somebody he should have.
That is incorrect. That is incorrect.
Okay.
Oh, good try.
All right. Now, try to remember who I made the dig at last time.
These got
to
be new digs. These got to be. Yeah. Don't bring no Blandos.
Because I think I'm 2-2 for the digs.
Mm-hmm.
So. let's see. So I'm going to go for Punisher this time.
Great. Now, is there anything about the Punisher you feel like you can make fun of?
Probably not.
Pretty much everything.
Yep. Good.
Because,
is that the thing?
A skull? I mean, there are so many better looking bones.
Oh,
wow.
I want a hip, a big hip bone.
Take us the bone.
Hip bone. Good stuff. Used
fibula.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the pelvis shirt.
Yeah. Oh, good. Oh, good boy. Stuff.
I'm getting wound up.
Your clue, the answer is also a character in the Sabrina television series.
Ooh.
This is the one mistake that exposed Culp having replaced the Shade in the Grand Guignol storyline of Starman.
Okay, so it's also a character. Zelda. Adam C. Okay. I'm going to say that he, I'm going to say Salem.
That is incorrect. That is incorrect. Good try, Kev. Good
it's like try, rolling Landon. A bunch of dice.
Amazing. Two tries there. Thank you, Kevin. Thanks for coming on. Wow, this is tough. I do want to mention, we'll get to Kevin's question in a second, but there are a couple of suggestions for video game comics over here on YouTube, which I thought were kind of nice. Bandito 740 said, "Woo, Eternal Champions. Breath of the Wild Forever." Alex Fletcher says, "Pokemon Shield." These are all great. Good ideas. There we go.
I want to see a good RPG that's like based on an epic cross, like the Infinity Gauntlet as a role-playing game, like a classic role-playing NES role-playing game.
Gauntlet was a great game.
Yeah. Yeah. They definitely get a lot of meat in that one.
That's true. Almost too much.
Yeah. Yeah. This was Kevin's question, though. Which comic book home HQ lair would you most like to be spending this time in?
Mm.
I got to say the Batcave. Yeah. I want to hang
real
out
with go-to
the giant.
Real go-to answer.
Well, I just want to hang out with that giant penny, you know? I just want to, you know, like, really hang out with it.
That's the reason?
The giant penny gets old.
No
once
way.
Once you've seen it.
It's a giant penny.
It's just like a regular penny. You have hundreds of regular pennies.
If you put
pennies.
That in the middle of America, you know, people are like, oh, the largest ball of yarn. You put a giant penny out there, whoo.
What, you go live there? You'd go live where it is?
I'm going to set up a lean-to right underneath that giant penny and just kind of ride out this thing, you know?
Area man Pete LePage killed by giant penny. Can't wait to read the headline. I mean, Fortress of Solitude would be great for social distancing, obviously.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, but that's just cold as fuck.
Or I would love to do Spider-Man's apartment. That would be really nice as well.
No, be the what nice a dream.
Thing. Yeah, that's kind of what I'm doing right now.
Yeah,
it's this is from Josh. What is Taskmaster in the Marvel world? A mutant and altered human, i.e. Spider-Man or Captain America? Just a really cool dude? Well, I'll tell you what. Read Taskmaster 1 through 4 from 2010, and you'll get the answer to that. But the short answer is...
He's like Captain America.
Yeah, he's like Captain America.
Almost exactly.
Yes. This is from Edward Doherty. Hickman's X-Men run has just hit Marvel Unlimited. I'm reading it for the first time and I'm enjoying it, but I feel like the 6-month wait reduced some of the excitement. Considering this, to what extent is topicality necessary to truly enjoy mainstream Marvel and DC comics? Good question. What do you think?
It depends. I think topicality on the comic book sort of news cycle, like riding the hype wave specifically for X-Men, I think probably did make you enjoy it more because there was so much anticipation. And then it was such a wild explosion. The conversation around it was interesting. As far as otherwise topicality, just with like current events, I think topicality hurts a lot of runs down the line because so many things feel, even reading this, the Taskmaster book, like the topicality within continuity where it's like the Secret Avengers are there. It's like, oh yeah, what was that? And like Avengers Initiative, remember Taskmaster was there? It's like, yes, I do remember that, but I don't know how it's not helping tell the story because I don't remember this particular iteration and what it meant.
I mean, honestly, if anything, I think Hickman's X-Men is the rare exception to the rule here because when that was coming out, that felt, I know you disagree, Pete. I understand that you disagree, but that felt like lost to me. That was like an issue came out. You spent the week. People were actually talking about it and speculating and everybody was discussing and trying to figure out what's going on. It was very exciting in that way. And I almost wish they had kept with that. I know they can't for budget reasons, but I wish they had just kept like the one title going every week. So you're just rabidly waiting for that. But most of the time, unfortunately, because of schedules with comics, you get an event and it's like, this is coming out, except we didn't quite finish it. And the last three issues are a little delayed and now they're a lot delayed. And that's just kind of how it works. So it cuts into that. So most of the time, I think I would rather read something as a complete run, but very occasionally, and I can't remember the last time it happened, but maybe like Infinite Crisis or something like that, like that far back where I felt like, oh my God, I got to read this right now. X-Men is the first thing in a very long time that felt like you have to read that right now so that you could discuss everything with everybody as it's happening. Like that was a Wednesday comic.
Yeah, but also like Saga is like that. Paper Girls was like that. I mean, there have been like Why the Last Man. There have been shit that's like when it's dropped, it's like holy crap.
You know, I definitely.
Well, all I was going to say in response to that, Pete, is I agree with you just like on a personal level. There's things that like I need to read this right now personally. But X-Men was a conversation piece. You know, that was something that was like widespread in a very different way than a lot of these other comics that you're mentioning, which I agree are awesome. But also, in your defense, Matthew Wood here over on YouTube says, Pete is a living legend. Show some respect.
That's very nice. Wow. Very nice.
Somebody a say. Living legend. Wow.
A living legend. Well, after all these cheesesteaks, I don't know about that, man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
This is from
aging legend.
From Kier Alexander, what's a new original Marvel or DC cartoon series you would love to see be made?
New animated series.
Well, I'll tell you, the Harley Quinn series has been really magical. I feel like if you're going to have a character and do some humor and then kind of build out some characters, like I would see some spinoff from some of those characters. Bane kills me on that show. I'd love to see a Bane spinoff with some other characters. I think their DC is kind of gaining that title of like doing amazing animated stuff again. And I hope that this is just kind of the tip of the iceberg for more projects like that, that they have. So yeah, I would like to see more. I'm not sure. It'd be cool if, you know, some with this downtime, I don't know if it's easier to do animation. And so maybe we get more animated stuff. It'd be great.
Yeah, apparently, I mean, I don't know a lot about the process, but apparently most animated projects are still continuing in some form because yeah. They can actually do it in their own houses versus live action projects.
My answer would be Super Sons from over at DC Comics with Superboy and Damian Wayne Robin. Love that comic.
Kind of frame, X-23 was an unbelievable comic that Marvel put out. I would love to see an animated series of that.
That would be great with Honey Badger and that whole era.
Yeah.
It's a fun combo.
Yeah. All right. This one is from Josh. If you had Taskmaster's ability, what real world situation would you use it in?
Ooh, good. And what thing would I observe and remember and then use mm-hmm. later?
It would be great if I could like go in and see somebody making like a cheesesteak or a garbage plate and then be able to recreate that at home.
Could you imagine if you could get a cooking. Recipe?
That's just literally cooking.
Yeah.
That's what cooking is.
I've tried.
You don't have to memorize that. You can just follow the directions.
You got to stay sober too long to be able to do it. I can't do it.
I actually think garbage plates are only created when you're drunk. That's why. That's the trick with them. Created and consumed.
This is a very specific to right now answer, but my kids have been obsessed with Just Dance, and because we haven't been able to go outside, we've been playing that all the time, and I am the world's worst dancer. So if
I believe that.
What?
I believe
that. Alex, yeah. No, do not say that. I've seen you move. There it is.
Stop. Why are you doing this?
I don't think you're a bad dancer. It's just your look on your face is pure panic the entire time you're moving your body.
People ask me why I drink. There it is.
They take videos of you while you're doing Just Dance. Not cool. And it's the worst. It's the worst afterwards. But if I could have an ability, it would be like just watch a very good dancer for a while and then actually be able to dance on that game.
All right, I'll send you some cool videos of me cutting it up, Alex. And you can see if you can.
That's a dance off.
Being a good dancer is just moving very quickly.
Oh, there's a challenge. What do you got, Justin?
Man.
Going to town.
I'm exhausted.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I want to be one of those ski jump guys. I want to know how to hold myself in the air so I can fly like that.
Nice.
I do the eagle.
I'm very reticent to ask this next one, but I'm going to read it off anyway. This is from Omnia Soul. What is the origin of Wahhabis?
Oh no. Let me guess. There isn't one. It's just stupid.
Well, yeah. I mean, when you say it like that, sure.
No, what is it?
Great. Yeah. Pete, answer the question.
Well, it's just dumb. It's just, you know, it was a popular kind of thing a while ago.
When people are like, if you would ask somebody something, they would say, "What happened?" And then I just took the "What happened" and turned it into "Wabi." You know, just kind of shaped it a little bit more. You know, just put a little extra on it. You know,
I can't wait to buy a hoodie with that written on the back of it.
That
should
great.
Be able to get one. I don't know.
Yeah, why we do have those on sale at comicbookclub.threadless.com. So head on.
They are there. Really? Wow.
Yeah, I think so, right? Did I forget to take them down, Pete? I think I did it for your birthday, and then I was like, I'm taking this down immediately, and then just forgot.
Oh, shit. Know. We should get one for Pete. Does you have one, Pete?
I have a Wahhabi's t-shirt.
Oh, nice. This is a question from Pete's Punisher Slippers. What are the rules to the Comic Book Club drinking game? When should I take a sip? When do I have to chug? That reminds me, usually in the section we talk about what we're drinking on the show. Pete, as usual, you got a White Claw, right?
You know it.
What flavor?
What's your flavor?
Natural Lime is tonight's sponsor.
Ooh, Natural Lime.
Ooh.
Great.
It's better than
the unnatural. Unnatural Lime.
Yeah. That's good. What about you, Justin?
I've got that. Coney Island Beach Beer.
Oh, nice.
Coney Island Beach Beer. It's like Woo. Being at the beach instead of your home.
Nice. And I got over here a Southern Tier 2x IPA.
Yo, double IPA. Alex going hard tonight. Alex,
I got
cues.
When I panic bought a ridiculous amount of Easter candy at the Rite Aid, they had one variety pack of Southern Tier left, and I was like, oh, let's do this. So there you go. What is the drinking game, though?
I think it would be anytime I get angry, anytime I say something like the art is fantastic, or, you know, I have certain things that I repeat all the time as
what?
My girlfriend
no.
likes to remind me.
No, Pete.
What are your catchphrases, Pete?
That's a good one. You.
Anytime Pete says fuck
Stray
you.
Stray Billet in the comments says, anytime Pete says fuck you, you will die. You will die.
You will die. Or if I call you a piece of shit, anybody call him a piece of shit? Yeah. Yeah.
If you want to hear a lot of times Pete saying fuck you, listen to our upcoming Riverdale podcast.
Why'd you bring that up?
Great question. Here we go. This is one from John.
Classically trained actor would be a good one. Yeah, anytime Zelvin's a douche, you drink. I mean, there's plenty of time.
Anytime you see some truly, truly excellent acting on this. Yeah.
Okay. From John George, speaking of guys with guns, I can't believe I didn't offer to take Pete shooting before the quarantine. You want to do it afterwards. Pete, you want to go shooting with John?
Yeah. Sure. Sure. That sounds fucking really scary.
Have you ever done that before, Pete?
Gone shooting with John? No.
Gone shooting or shot a gun before?
I have shot a gun, yes.
So I got a little bit of a twist with this next question, you guys. You ready?
Wow. I love your forecasting your twist.
All right. This is from a first-hand up guy. The Stars My Destiny. What's your favorite comics?
He said Stars My Destiny?
Yes.
Oh, that's actually not the key phrase, first-hand up guy. You need to, you better check your fucking stat, dog. maybe your hands in the air for a little too often, first-hand up guy.
But this is a great follow-up question. What's your favorite comics? says, to be fair, that was autocorrect. Do we let him onto the stream to do this?
Do we want to do this quiz again?
Rare triple quiz?
Dude, too many quizzes.
Let's finally reveal too many quizzes from Pete LePage. Yeah. First Aid Up Guy saying in the Slack, he doesn't know the answer.
Wait, should we bring him in real quick and see what's going on? See if we can get it?
We do owe him.
We absolutely do. Here, let's see what happens. This is great. This is great. Rare triple quiz going on. We'll see what happens. And you're going to cut in right on the question.
Yes.
That we didn't get at this point, right?
Right. The unanswered question.
Okay. Which, just as a reminder, while he's getting accepted and connected here, what was the question again?
The question was, what is the one mistake that exposed that Cult had replaced Shade and that Ron Greenaw? Look at this guy. Look,
that's great.
Looking good.
Oh, man. Take out your headphones.
That looks like a classy place that you're in.
Take out your headphones, Nat.
Anything?
We can hear you.
Take off your headphones, Dad.
Yeah, unplug your headphones.
Oh, no, you can't hear us.
You guys, nod sternly if you can hear me, because yes. I can't hear you.
Yes,
we can. I'm being told to unplug headphones. And we're Bluetooth.
Yeah.
Bluetooth.
Wait, can you hear us now?
I got you.
All right, yay. Here we go.
Wow.
Here we go. First stand-up guy.
Not doomed at all.
No, first stand-up guy coming this through with another technology fail.
What's up? Y'all want some of this brisket?
Look at this guy.
Brisket?
Going on. Oh,
meat. Wow, giving us a personal tour.
The tour. Showing
can you
just off
real
kitchen?
Quick, and this doesn't make any sense for anybody listening to the audio podcast, but Nat, can you say, what's up, everybody? I'm Nat Townsend, and this is my crib.
What's up, everybody? I'm Nat Townsend, and this is my crib.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Hold on. I actually have music. Here we go.
Good. You have the Cribs theme?
Yeah, Cribs.
Great stuff. Really blowing the wine budget on that barefoot.
$4.99, baby.
Yeah.
Nice. Still in the brisket.
All right, let's do this. Let's
question
do
number six. In the final Grand Guignol arc of Starman, what is the one mistake that it exposed that Culp had replaced Shade? The one mistake
that he made.
Overcooking the brisket.
You know what's bad is I've read this and I don't remember the answer.
That's the true test of fandom is retention.
And if I recall correctly, it's the name of a character in Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
That is correct. Okay, Alex knows the answer to this.
Dorian Gray.
That is very close, but what is the mistake?
It's a picture of the dirt. Oh, fuck. I don't remember. Is that even close to the answer?
That is very close to the answer, yes. But you have to have the answer.
Oh, you have to.
It's
like
a very particular mistake.
What it is.
Right.
It's a very particular mistake there that is.
There's a painting on his wall that is inaccurate because it's not aging.
That is incorrect. Thank you for coming by.
Punisher has aggression problems because he didn't see a therapist in high school.
that is actually absolutely correct. Thank you for getting your dig in. Your clue is in the first half of the famous story. That's where your answer is. This is a second clue because you already have the other one.
It's in the first half of the famous story.
The famous story. What is the name of the famous story?
Well, there's a picture of the Shade that
you can't just guess. You're done. Get him out of here.
Get him
out of here.
Bye, Dad. Enjoy the brisket.
Bye, Dad. Have enjoyable brisket.
Great. And we should definitely follow up with this question, which is what are your favorite comics?
I wanted to ask Nat about that bucket of old baseball gloves that he had in his kitchen.
Oh, those are the drifters that he's lured in with his brisket and then killed and stolen their baseball gloves.
He's killed an entire AAA baseball team over the years.
Let me see if we, oh my God, all of these questions are from Nat. Here we go.
We don't need to do that.
No, we don't need to do that. I do want to read this comment over on YouTube, though. Bandito740 says, since you guys have started all these show review podcasts, which show have you liked the best? I have to tell you that I love the Krypton podcast, but never watched anything past the first episode.
Thank you
for sticking with that. The most yelly of all of our podcasts. Appreciate that. Is there a show that you guys have had that's your favorite? That we've done. We've done a bunch of podcasts, as you mentioned now.
Yes. A lot of, we got Preacher. I mean, the favorite is Riverdale for me. Getting on Watchmen's another a great choice. As far as just a show, Watchmen's probably a show I'd be like, oh, that's the best show that we've done. But Riverdale's the show I enjoy the most watching and doing the podcast.
Yeah. Pete, you got one?
I really think that Legion was the show that kind of blew me away with all the different acting and the twists and turns and how creative it was all the time. It constantly kind of blew my mind.
Watchmen, I was so proud that we kind of got to watch it and then talk about it. It was really neat. But yeah, I mean, Riverdale has been such a crazy emotional roller coaster that it's hard to not mention the Riverdale.
Yeah, I agree on Riverdale. Just that's super fun to talk about. Obviously, that's taken over a good portion of our lives, which is really fun. From
completely changed my life.
Not to get too wonky about it, but like just from a logistical perspective, I'm pretty proud of what we did with the Watchmen podcast. The fact that we individually reviewed every issue, that we did every episode of the show on time, and then also had the bonus episodes where we talked mostly to guests and broke down things and answered questions and talked about theories. That was fun to do. We don't always really have time to do something like that and execute on that level, but I was very proud and happy with what we were able to do with that. And if it does ever come back for a second season, it'll be fun to revisit that sort of thing.
For sure.
There we go. All right. Let me see if we have any. We have a bunch of other questions here. I guess since we kicked Joe Crack out, we can wrap up with one more question here from Joe Crack. Is it weird in the MCU that Iron Man has committed genocide? I do think that's weird, honestly. Like, this is, to be honest, there's things that are amazing about Avengers Endgame. But there's a lot of very weird choices as well. Like, I'm never a fan of superheroes killing in general. I know we've certainly discussed this a lot on the show. And it's satisfying to watch Tony just, like, snap and eliminate Thanos and the army. But at the same time, it's like, yo, you killed all of those people. And as you pointed out in the comments, yeah, he blew up the Chitauri. Every single movie, like Cap pulling out a gun and killing Hydra soldiers in Avengers as well. Always very, very weird to me. Like, it doesn't sit right. And as much as I like those movies, that always pulls me out a little bit. How do you guys feel about it?
No, I agree with you, though. I will say, like, a lot of like Captain America had a gun, like he was in war, like that to me tracks a little bit more. And I just don't think they in the MCU, they are not like, well, these characters 100% don't kill, which is such a time held comic book thing. I don't know if they hold that at all, since movies, hundreds of people die in so many movies.
Yeah, that's true. Pete, do you have any thoughts on this one?
No, I mean, I disagree with what you're saying. It was kind of it was a little weird and fucked up, and it was also weird that to me he was like, "Hey, I got my happy ending. Fuck you guys." He eventually came around to it and, you know, saved the day, but it was kind of, I was a little upset that, like, "Oh, you got your family and you're going to make everybody else go off on their own." That's kind of cold, but yeah, I mean, you know, to me the killing in the movie is a safe place for that, so it's a nice way to kind of, you know, be able to
as opposed to reality.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it's very, and I know this from experience, it is tough to commit genocide in real life. Like, I've tried and it just doesn't work. This is a quick comment on this note from Serenity Q26 over on YouTube. But this is why these films don't work for me. Well, they're a nameless, faceless aliens, so it's okay if we kill them, who cares? And yeah, I agree. Like, that's definitely that feeling comes through. But at the same time, like, I understand from a logistical standpoint, you can't have one of the Chitauri come out and be like, "But our society is based on riding worms. That's what we do. That's what we love. That's how we live."
Yeah. I demand the Chitauri cut.
Yes. Release the Chitauri cut.
Yeah.
All right, and that is it for your audience questions.
Yeah, yeah.
And now it is time for our next Thanks, section, everybody. Which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
Finally, a quiz.
Yeah. See, first hand up guy did say hand, but I feel like we just had him on, you know?
That's new. Or comic book poser. Who do you want to choose? It's up to you, Pete.
Mike is first because we just had Joe Crack on as well.
All right. Here we go. Wow. Mike, we are going to invite you on into the stream here in these new rules for audience questions. Yeah. Sorry, Nat. Sorry, everybody else.
Joe Crack.
You got it. I'm not going to restart the sound cue. There we go. All right. Hey, Mike.
Hey.
How are you?
Doing great from Jefferson City.
All right.
Nice.
Welcome, man. Pete, take it away.
All right, great. So today's trivia is on topical comic news. I'm going to read you a question, listen to all three possible answers, get all three questions right. You'll get a $25 gift card to Midtown Comics Online Shop. All right, are you ready?
Let's go.
All right. Question number one, the upcoming DC event, Dark Knight's Death Metal, isn't just a sequel to Metal. What does Scott Snyder say it will do to DC's continuity? Is it A, sort it out, B, make it better, stronger, faster, or is it C, Bill Irwin? So it's either A, or you could pick B.
I will take A.
That is,
A is correct.
I love the light Scott fluting. Snyder
claiming that this event will sort out DC's continuity. Bold.
Only if it starts with Hawkman.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Question number two. What college launched a new comics imprint called Graphic Monday? Is it A, Ithaca College, B, Penn State, or is it C, Paul Dooley? So it's either A, don't pick it, or it's B, Penn State.
Oh, Penn State then.
Penn State, we are Penn State. Shout out to Ithaca College.
That's great. It's definitely its second tier to Cornell, but I appreciate you calling it out anyway, Pete.
Nobody asked you anything. All right, here we go. Last one.
Gorgeous.
Over 100 creators are coming together to help raise money for comic retailers. What is the hashtag? Is it A, hashtag comics for creators, B, hashtag remember your fucking comic shops, motherfuckers, or is it C, Shelley Duvall? So it's either A, which is the only one that isn't committed.
Yeah, I'll take A.
A is correct. $25.
Wait, you made up Shelley Duvall?
What's that?
You made up Shelley Duvall?
I did not make up. No.
Pete invented Shelley Duvall. He's always claimed that.
Yes.
He takes credit for her.
All right. Congratulations. You've won a $25 online gift card to Midtown Comics. Shoot us an email at comicbookclublive@gmail.com with your name, address, phone number, and we will get you all set up and you enjoy those comics. And thanks for jumping in.
Thanks for jumping in.
All right. Bye bye, Mike. All right, there we go. Now, the names, there are so many quizzes in this show. It's really taking
you,
over.
You did this. You did this to us.
Me?
Yeah.
Me?
And people are right. Comic Poser is correct.
Wait, so hold on, because people on the audio podcast can't read this. So your third answers equal a Robin Williams movie. What were the three actors again, Pete?
It was Bill Irwin, Paul Dooley, and Shelley Duvall.
Wow. And there you go. The answer was Popeye, as many people called out. First stand up guy over here in the comments says, you guys need Scott Snyder to simplify your show. You know what? I don't like it. I don't like it. Stick to your brisket, buddy. There you go. All right. Before we wrap up here, thank you all for watching. You've all been awesome and amazing. And we love having you on the stream. We are doing these shows live to the internet every Tuesday. Also for our stack, I'll plug, since new comics aren't really coming out, we're doing throwback stacks this week, voted on by you all on Twitter. Particularly, we put a vote up. We put a couple of choices. We ended up with DC, The New Frontier by Darwin Cook. So that's exciting. So that's going to be in our stack podcast. That'll roll out Wednesday morning in the Comic Book Club feed and in its own feed, in the stack feed. A couple of other things to plug. If you like the show and you want to support us, patreon.com/comicbookclub, iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice to subscribe and listen to the show. Comicbookclublive.com for this podcast. More, a couple of other podcasts we can plug that we mentioned before. We got our Riverdale podcast that's finally back, Riverdale After Dark, in its own feed. Also, Katie Keencast, our Katie Keen podcast, is coming back this Thursday as well. Woo-hoo. And we have a new podcast that we are launching called Star Guys, a Star Girl podcast. And similar to the Watchmen podcast and the other stuff, before Star Girl premieres on DC Universe and the CW, we're going to review Stars and Stripe, by Jeff Johns and Lee Motor. We're maybe going to try to do some of the JSA books as well, because that ties into it. And generally, we're just going to have a good old time. All right. Thank you, everybody. Have a great week, and we will see you not at the comic book shop, but we will see you online. And now, for those of you watching visually, we're going to awkwardly sit here while the theme song plays us out.
Why do you
doesn't
keep
have
doing
to be
this?
Awkward. We can always just dance it out, Pete and Alex.
Yeah. Just now I'm going to do 1,000 requests.
Oh, wow.
Are you drunk?
What a fun show. What a fun little puppet show Alex is doing. Alex's puppeteers have a very difficult job.
They sit on crappy couches and they learn the secrets leak. And occasionally they'll have a special guest speak. So grab your inhaler and don't be late for it, cause their girlfriends can barely tolerate it. Comic book love, comic book love, comic book love,
we're professionals.
Yes.
Nope.